Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Have any of you ever heard of a couple named Bert and Julie Fullerton? Anybody ever heard of Bert and Julie? Anybody ever heard? What about Ben and Tiffany Waldrop? Anybody know Ben and Tiffany? Nancy Powell, Yvonne Rhodes, Linda Sperling. Makes sense. I don't think any of you grew up in Florence with me. I don't think any of you went to First Baptist Church of Florence like I did. I don't think any of you were a part of the youth ministry in the 90s. Yeah, the 90s. So however that wants to make you feel. I was in high school in the 90s, so there. Whatever way that goes, you enjoy yourself. But I did grow up in Florence, and I did go to First Baptist Church Florence, and I was very active in the youth ministry of First Baptist Florence. And so for me, when I say names like Bert and Julie Fullerton, Ben and Tiffany Waldrop, Yvonne Rhodes, Nancy Powell, Linda Sperling, these are famous people to me. These are heroes to me. These are gifts from God in my life. And I was immensely blessed growing up. I had the amazing benefit of growing up in a house with two parents, and both parents loved Jesus, and both parents pushed me towards Jesus my entire life. I have the benefit and the blessing of attending two churches growing up, and they both loved Jesus, and they both pointed me towards Jesus, and it was very beneficial and helpful to my life. But I also had these men and these women that were Sunday school teachers. Yes, I went to Sunday school growing up. Anybody else go to Sunday school? Remember that? Sunday school? Is that we go to school all week? Why do you want to go on Sunday? But I went to Sunday school, and these people taught my Sunday school class, and they went on trips with us as students, and they took time out of their lives, and they invested in mine. And they changed my life. They played a role in my life. They grew my faith. God used them in ways to prepare me for things that I didn't even know were coming. And I don't think I'm unique in this. I don't think I'm alone in this. I would go so far as to say almost every person in this room has a story like this. Now, maybe you didn't grow up in church. Maybe it's your first time back. You don't even believe in God, and you're just kind of here because somebody invited you, and you're kind of checking things out. This is a universal truth. You don't have to be in church to do this. Most people, the vast majority of people, I would say, in this room, as you were growing up, you had someone in your life, and it wasn't a parent. Probably wasn't a teacher, like it wasn't somebody who was paid or required by law to be nice to you. You know, it was just an adult. Could have been a rec coach, could have been somebody else, but an adult who played a role in your life. They took an interest in you for some reason. And even looking back now, like you can remember the lessons you learned from those people. You know you're a better parent, you're a better spouse, you're a better employee, you're a better boss, because that man or that woman or that couple, because they played that role in your life. They took an interest in you, and it made a difference in your life. Again, I'll be willing to bet almost every person in this room has some experience like that. And so I just want you for just a moment just to think about those people. Think about their names. Think about what they used to do. Think about how it made you feel. And if you're a Christian today, if you believe in God today, like maybe just thank God for them right in this moment. Just quickly say, oh God, thank you so much for who they are. If you don't believe in God today, I understand that. If you don't believe in God, you can't thank him. You don't believe in him. Maybe just decide right now you're going to write him a note. And I mean a note, like not Facebook. You're going to write a note. You know what? If you do believe in God, still write a note. Write a note. People like to be told thank you. And so just think about those people. Think about the men and women who played a role in your formative years as you were growing up and how valuable that was to you. How there are things you still remember today that you learned from those moments. Because again, I think most of us in this room have experienced that. And for those of us who maybe didn't experience it, we sure wish we had. We can see the value in it. And the reason I bring all that up is because, if you don't know, we're in the middle of a series that we're calling All in the Family. And in this series, we're talking about our desire as a church to partner together with parents to make sure we give our children, your children, and basically every child in Myrtle Beach an opportunity at a better life, an opportunity to be launched into life with a relationship with Jesus firmly embedded in their souls, because we are convinced that life with Jesus is better. We're so convinced that for the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about how we as a church want to partner with parents to do just that. We talked about how we wanted to give them a great start. We've talked about specifically what we do for birth through elementary. We've talked about what we do for middle school and high school students. And if you're a guest today, if you're new, you've missed part of this, man, I encourage you, go to this website, go to wellspringchurch.tv/allinthefamily and check it out. Don't miss it, because we've had a lot of great stuff that we've been talking about. We've talked about our entire approach, our entire strategy, our entire vision for making this happen, for partnering with you to make sure that when your child, when your son, when your daughter, when they walk out the door, when they leave for college, that we've done everything we can to give them a successful launch into life. We are passionate about this because we believe God is passionate about this. We know parents are passionate about this. And so we want to partner with you to do that. And today I want to talk about a key ingredient to that launch. We can have the best strategy possible. We can have the best approach possible. But without this key ingredient, time after time after time, we see that the launch isn't as successful as it can be. And we don't want to settle for that. You don't want to settle for that. No one wants to settle for anything less than the absolute best when it comes to their children. We totally understand that. And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about a key ingredient to launching my children and your children and all our children into the future God has planned for them. Now, to help you understand what this key ingredient is, we want to turn to a man named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring Church because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. The New Testament tells the story of Jesus coming to earth, his life, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then the spread of the church. Paul was an early convert to Christianity. He became a leader in the Christian church. He would actually go around and start new churches. He would then write those churches letters, giving them encouragement and instructions because they didn't have a Bible yet, and so they were creating one in the first century. And so Paul would write letters, and what we believe is that when Paul was writing those letters, God was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters. And so we can hold those letters. And 2,000 years later, we can still read those letters, and we know what God wants for our life. And what Paul was really doing, when I said he would go around and start churches, what that means is he would go around and he would talk to people about Jesus. And then when enough people became Christians together, they would become a church. They would become a group of people whose job it was to tell other people about Jesus. And Paul was obsessed with the church. And he was obsessed with the church because Jesus himself was obsessed with the church. When Jesus, maybe you know the story, Jesus dies, then he comes back to life, which is really cool. And then he lives for about 30 to 40 days with his disciples. And then Jesus leaves. They literally watch Jesus float back up to heaven. And as Jesus leaves, he's like, hey, guys, this is on you now. Go tell everyone what I've done. And they do. They go and they start telling people who Jesus was. They start living like Jesus. They start becoming like Jesus. And people are so compelled by that that they give their lives to Jesus as well. And the church spreads. See, what Jesus had done is Jesus had said, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm leaving, but I'm going to put it in control of my church, my ecclesia, my group of people. It's now on you. And that group ran wild, and they changed the world. So when I'm saying church, I don't mean this building that we're in. This is a building. When I'm saying church, I'm meaning people. I'm meaning God's group. God's people who for almost 2,000 years have done everything they can to elevate Jesus above themselves and to say life is better with him, not because of us. And this was Jesus's plan. Jesus put this all into place. And so when Paul comes along, he starts starting churches and he starts giving instruction to churches and he realizes I've got to explain how this thing works. And so in one of Paul's letters, specifically the letter he wrote to the church in Ephesus, okay, it's called the Book of Ephesians. What Paul basically does in this book is he spends the first couple of chapters explaining what the church is, explaining how the church works, explaining why it's so important and why it's so powerful. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gets really, really specific. And he starts talking about some things that God has done because the church is so important. He starts talking about some gifts that God's given to the church, some advantages that he's given them, some blessings he's given them to make sure the church succeeds because the church's mission is absolutely vital. So what I want to do is I want to turn to this teaching from Paul. I want to turn to where Paul explains how vital the church is, and he explains specifically some of these gifts, some of these roles that have been created, because once we understand the way God intended the church to work, and once we understand the way that all these roles are supposed to play together, it's going to become super clear to all of us what the key ingredient is at our church and what the key ingredient is specifically in making sure our children get a great launch into life. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul begins to explain very clearly how the church is supposed to work, and he begins by explaining the gifts that have been given. Here's what he says. He says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. These are the things that he's designed. These are the things that he's planned that's going to make this church work, make this group, not this building, to make the people work, to make, literally, the way we talk about in the New Testament, it's called the body of Christ. You know, the group of people that represents who Jesus was now that Jesus has gone back into heaven. And so what Paul is saying is he's saying these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. And it starts with the apostles. Now, the apostles, that's a specific group of people. These are the men that walked with Jesus. These are the men that talked with Jesus. These are the men that saw Jesus' miracles. These are the men that wrote the New Testament. And what Paul's saying here is, hey, that was a gift to us. It was a gift that we had these eyewitnesses who thought to write things down so that we can read them 2,000 years later. That was a gift. Now, there is a debate. We're not going to get into it, but there is a debate as to, was it just those apostles, or do apostles still exist, or there's still people who want to start new things and build new things? You can debate that amongst yourselves. It really doesn't matter, because the only point is that God gave this as a gift to the people. People who in the first century wanted to start things, and I believe people who still want to continue to start things going forward for the church. He's saying those are a gift. He gives us the apostles. He also gives us the prophets. Now, this one's even more controversial than this one, because the prophets, if you're familiar at all with the way the Bible works in the Old Testament, there were prophets. These were men and women who God spoke to directly, and they like could speak on behalf of God. And again, some people now want to say they can still be prophets. Some people say prophecy ended. We're not going to get into that. If you believe that prophets are still around today, all that means is that they see things clearly, they want to talk clearly, they want to explain things clearly. And I believe, yes, I believe the church still has people who want to start things. I believe the church still has people who want to speak clearly and speak truth clearly. These are gifts that God has given to make sure the church keeps working. So we have the apostles, we have the prophets, then we have the evangelists. The evangelists, this just means people who have a gift and a passion for telling people about Jesus. The guy we're talking about, Paul was an evangelist. But we know evangelism didn't end. Billy Graham passed away a while back. I mean, he's the most famous evangelist who's ever lived. Evangelists are just simply people who have a unique gift and a specific ability to talk to people about their faith. So I know some of you are evangelists. Some of you are better evangelists than I'll ever be in your communities and at work and, you know, on your sports teams and all that stuff. It's fantastic to watch. And again, that is a gift from God. If you naturally enjoy talking to people about your faith and sharing it with them, you might be an evangelist. That might be a thing that God's given you to help grow his church. And this is really important. So there's these gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. And then he says, also a gift and the pastors. This is me. He's talking about me. He's talking about the staff of Wellspring Church. We're a gift. You're welcome. And so, hey, Paul said it, not me. But he's saying all these things are gifts, you know, and I see what he's saying. You know, people who feel called to ministry, people who feel called to spend their lives doing this. I know I couldn't do what I do without other people feeling called to do what we do. They're a gift to me. I certainly know that. And so what Paul's saying is he's saying, hey, when you think about the church, when you think about all God wants to do through the church, all that God wants to do through his group, don't forget, man, he's equipped the church. He's prepared it. He's given us the apostles and the prophets, and he's given us the evangelists, and he's given us pastors. He's given us people who want to spend their lives doing this. He's given us all these things. And then he adds one more. He says, the pastors and teachers. Now, see, some people want to say pastors and teachers have to go together. And I would agree that all pastors are teachers. But I would definitely not agree that all teachers have to be pastors. I would not say that all teachers have to be paid to do their work. And you wouldn't either, by the way. You wouldn't say that. Because if you actually look at the Greek word here, and I don't want to bore you with the Greek, but it actually matters. When you look at the Greek word here for teacher, it's the word didaskalos. And didaskalos, the way that's defined in Greek, it means teacher. But teacher is defined as a person who instructs others by imparting skills or knowledge. A person who instructs others by imparting skills or knowledge. I want you to think back to those men and women who played a role in your life. I want you to think back to those people that you would call a mentor. Maybe you still have a mentor. Now, the vast majority of them aren't paid to do that. They don't have a title. But they instruct you by imparting skills or knowledge. I'm sure some of you would say you're a better parent. You have a better skill of parenting because you watch somebody else parent well. Some of you have business skills right now. You can see things clearly than other people purely because someone took the time when you were young to help you see what was going on. And so I don't think teacher can just be put with pastor and say it has to be somebody on staff. I think a teacher is any person who spends time with someone else with the purpose of imparting wisdom, knowledge, skill, for the purpose of helping them succeed in life. And I love this word didaskalos because it was actually one of the titles given to Jesus. His disciples and his followers often called him didaskalos, often called him teacher. And you want to say, yeah, but Jesus preached all the time, and that is true. Jesus was a preacher. But I think when you read the Gospels, you read the biographies of Jesus' life, you understand that he loved to teach, he loved to preach, he loved to share things, but he thought his number one thing he was doing was imparting knowledge and wisdom through the way he lived. We know that because there's a few times, just a few, he gets a little frustrated with his disciples, gets a little frustrated with his closest group. And when he gets frustrated, here's what he says. He says, "How long must I be with you before you get it?" He doesn't say, "Do I need to teach this sermon again so you can get it?" He doesn't say, whoa, you must have missed the outline. He says, "Guys, we've been together. I've been teaching you through my life. I've been trying to impart wisdom, and I've been trying to impart knowledge and skill. And I've been doing this in your life actively. How much longer until you get it?" Maybe he was working with teenagers. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But with that in mind, okay, with that description of a teacher in mind, I want to go back and I want you to see what Paul says. He says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. These are the gifts he gave to make sure it succeeds. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And guys, this list is not ranked. It's not saying this one's more important than this one. What he's saying is, these are the gifts, and we need all of these gifts. We need everyone functioning at 100% capacity if we want to succeed, if we want to experience the best God has for us. How do I know that? Because that's what Paul says next. He says their responsibility, all these people, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Their responsibility is to equip people to build up the church, to become more like God. This is why I can call my youth leaders, Bert and Julie Fullerton, Linda Sperling, Yvonne Rhodes, it's why I can call them gifts. I call them gifts because Paul called them gifts. They were a gift from God, and he used them to build me up, to build up my faith. And I know for some of you, you're like, no, yeah, I understand this for you, Trey, but I'm not even sure I believe in God. I don't know about any of this, so this doesn't really apply to me. Of course it does. You understand God and his plan and his church is at work in your life whether you want it to be or not, right? He loves you. He is constantly coming after you. So if there has ever been a moment in life where anyone has played a role in your life and it has made your life better, it has made your life more full. It has made your life more complete. It has taught you anything. I believe that was by the grace of God. That was God moving in your life. And the hope today is you can begin to see that and paint a different picture of God than maybe the one you have painted. But we've all experienced this. We've all benefited from this. And what Paul has to say is, hey, just because you benefited from it doesn't mean you fully understand it. Let me paint a picture for you of what God really wants to do, what it means to build up the church, what that looks like. Because once you see what it looks like, you're not going to want anything else because it's so much better. And that's what Paul says. You know, he's talking about these gifts. He said their responsibility is to build up the church, to equip the church, to do his work. You want to say, okay, Paul, what does that look like? And Paul's like, I'm glad you asked. Here's what it looks like. He says, this will continue, this equipping, this growing. Why do we do this? This will continue until we all, every single person on earth, until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, until we love each other so much and we understand God so clearly and perfectly that we will be mature in the Lord, mature, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, don't miss what Paul just said here. Paul just said the job of all these gifts in the church, the job of all of us, is to get together and work together and create programs and create opportunities and create things and to get in there and spend time and coach and work and coach and work and coach and work. And when do we stop? When everybody is equal to Jesus. Let me help you. Never going to happen. But it's a worthy goal. And what it means is there will always be work for the church to do until Jesus returns. There will always be work to do. And quick side note, this is one thing I always like to point out to people because, you know, I am 38 years old and I have been in church for 38 years. I've never not been actively involved in a church. I know many of you grew up in church. Here's a tendency that can happen at some point if you've grown up in church and you start having kids, you kind of move on. There's a tendency to sort of get to a place and be like, I'm Jesus-ish enough, you know? I mean, I'm not Jesus, but I'm Jesus-ish. I'm ish enough, you know? I'm fine. We just throw it into neutral, and we kind of coast for 30 years. And what Paul is trying to say is, hey, that's not the way the church works. That's not the way the church. There's always a step as a church we can take. We can always become more loving and more compassionate and more understanding and more forgiving. We can always grow in wisdom. We can always grow in self-control. And so it's a little reminder on the other end that it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, we can always become more like Jesus. We can always grow more. And that's not to beat us down. That's just to simply say, hey, your life can always get better than it is. Even if you think it's amazing, Jesus promises that better is still ahead. It can get better. See, these are the purpose of these gifts, to work together to do this, to work together to allow us to grow, to become mature, to become more like Jesus. What does that actually benefit us? That's what Paul explains next. He says, then when we do that, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Now, this one, of course, people can understand this in the church world. But I love this verse because it's universal. You don't have to have grown up in church to have at some point in your life been fooled by something and someone smarter and wiser than you pointing out that's not true. Anybody remember? Maybe it was like your first deal you were trying to close or you know, your first something and somebody sold you just a complete fairy tale, but you didn't know it because you were naive and you were so excited and you went back and maybe you talked to your boss, maybe you talked to that mentor and you began telling them about this great deal and they just kind of got a smile on their face. And they let you finish and they kind of looked at you and they were like, really? You know, it's like maybe the first person who got the email from the Nigerian prince, the first person, and he went and told somebody, he was like, I'm going to be rich. And that person was like, now hold on a minute. Let's think this through. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Again, we have all benefited from that person. We've all experienced this. And what you didn't know at the time is that this was a gift from God. This is the work of the church. We are to become wiser. We are to become stronger. We are to grow in our understanding of Jesus, grow in our understanding of other people, grow in our understanding of what to truly put our faith in and what not to. This is all part of God's plan. This is all part of God's church. This is all part of the gifts that God has given to humanity to make our lives better. And when we receive these blessings, when we receive these gifts, when we grow, our lives get better. Here's what Paul says. He says, instead of doing these things, he says, instead we will speak the truth in love. Man, don't you wish you could just do that all the time? How much better would your life be if at all times with your kids, with your neighbor, with your spouse, with your boss, whatever, if you could just be calm enough to speak the truth in love instead of speaking a lie out of fear? Or my problem, instead of speaking the truth in anger? You know you can tell the truth and still be mad about it. Am I the only one who's ever done that? Y'all just sold me out there for a minute. Everybody's like, I've never done that, Pastor. I'm about to speak the truth in anger right now. But this is what he's saying. This is the purpose of the church. Not just so we could gather together and high five and whatever. It is because God is at work through the apostles and the prophets, through his teaching, through the evangelists, through the people who are going out and inviting, through the pastors and the staff who are working to create a place, and through the teachers, through the people who are willing to step in to a moment and to step in to a life and say, I don't have all the answers and I never will, but in this moment it looks like I have more answers than you do, so let me help. Let me speak. That is the way the church works. And that is what God has been planning the whole time. Because that's what Paul says. Paul paints this amazing picture, and then he makes a startling statement to all of us. He says this, he says, and don't forget, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes the whole thing fit together perfectly. Now, you have to know a little bit of theology, a little background to understand what that really means, but here's a couple of things we know for fact. God loves the world. He doesn't love just certain people. He loves the whole world. And God wants every single person he's ever created to have a relationship with him. And that's his plan. That's his goal. He gives us the ability to choose, but that's what he wants. And so when Paul says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, what he's saying is the whole body includes everybody that you know. The whole body includes everybody that's ever been created, because God created everybody to be a part of his body. And he loves them. And he created them to fit together perfectly. Now again, go with me. If you've been created to fit together perfectly in something, that means you were created as a perfect fit. If you're supposed to fit together, you've been created as a perfect fit. You have a unique gifting, a unique thought process, unique things that other people don't have. And God has a special place. Remember we talked about a body. He has a special place for you to play in his body. And it is only when we are all operating at 100% capacity and as we're all playing what he wants us to do that the body will actually work perfectly. That's what his goal is. That's what he wants to do. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And look how it works. Look how important this is. He says, as each part individually does its own special work, as each part does its own part, as each part does its own role, as each part plays its own part in the body of Christ, as we each do what we're called to do, what we were created to do, look at this, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In other words, the reason you are who you are, the reason you are where you are, is because someone in their life, in your life, played their role. The reason you've grown, the reason you've loved, the reason that you're a better person, if as you would say it that way, the reason you're more mature, the reason all those things happen is because someone played their role. And the reason I think Paul gives us this great picture is because he wants us to see, man, this is such a big thing. This is so much bigger than us. God is at work on all this. We can't ever predict what's going to happen in the future. We can't figure out everything that's going on. But what we can do is we can have trust and faith that God is at work, that God is doing this, and we can know for sure, okay, that means I've been created on purpose. I've been created for a spot to fit. I've just got to find my spot. I've got to play my role. I know you want to push back. You're like, whoa. Who said anything about me playing a role? We've been talking all day about people who played a role in my life and people who made me great. I was with you. but why do I have to play a role now? Well, you don't have to. But Paul is not speaking in the past tense. You see that, right? It says, as each part does its own special work. It doesn't say, as each part did its own special work, you became great, and then it stops. No, he says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So as you were growing up, someone else did their part, and it made the other parts grow. So now if you're on the other side of that, what if God has designed you to play a role so that you can help other parts grow? I mean, again, we look through over 2,000 years of the way the church has worked, and it's always worked that way. I don't think 2018 is when God decided to make it stop. I'm not sure that's when he said, and we're done. You've benefited enough, no more pushing forward. See, I think the reason Paul paints us this picture is because to always remind us, yes, if we've benefited from this, if we've received this, then we should give this back to other people. And one of the reasons I say that is because Paul was a pretty big fan of Jesus. I don't know if you know that. A pretty big fan of Jesus. And Jesus pretty specifically and clearly teaches this. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Everybody knows the golden rule. We've all heard the golden rule. Most people don't remember Jesus taught the golden rule, but Jesus did. Jesus taught the golden rule, and here's what he says. He says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Now, the way we hear that and the way most of us live the golden rule is this. We believe that you should do for others what you're hoping they'll do for you. Like, that's kind of how we live our life, right? That's what I teach my kids to do. That's what you teach your kids to do. We want to go through life. We know how we want to be treated. We know how we want to feel. We know what we want to happen. And so kind of the golden rule is, well, you do for other people what you're hoping they'll do for you. And see, I think if Paul were standing here today and he was to look at that, he'd be like, yeah, I mean, that's fine. Okay. Do for others what you hope they'll do for you. Okay, but how do you know that'll work? How do you know you'll like that? Well, I don't know, Paul. It's just what I hope. And I think Paul would say, but you know, you're making it way more complicated than you have to. Because you've experienced people and you've experienced things, right? You know what you like, you know what you don't like. Yeah, Paul, I do. And Paul would say, well, what if you just understood the golden rule a little differently? What if you just saw it the way I think Jesus sees it? And Paul would be like, by the way, I talk to Jesus every day, so don't question me. He would say, hey, what if rather than doing for others what you're hoping they'll do for you, which again is kind of guesswork, what if you just flipped it? What if instead of doing for others what you're hoping they'll do for you, what if you decided to do for others what you're happy they did for you? Doesn't that make it so much easier? Don't we all have a bank of knowledge and a bank of joy and a bank of experiences where we know for a fact, man, I'm so happy they did that for me. Man, I'm so happy they gave up some time. Man, I'm so happy they played their part. Man, I'm so happy they played their role. What if today you decided to do for others what you're happy they did for you specifically? What if everyone in this room who has benefited from someone playing a role in your life, being a teacher, being a didaskalos, walking with you, imparting wisdom or skill. What if you were to say, you know what, I benefited from that, and I'm happy they did that. So I'm going to step up today, and I'm going to play that role in someone else's life. Because I don't know if you figured it out yet or not, but the key ingredient to having the best family ministries possible, the key ingredient to giving our children and students the best launch possible in life, the key ingredient just might be you. Because every one of us has a role to play. Every one of us has been created by God to fit somewhere. To fit and playing a role to helping people fall more and more in love with Jesus. And if you benefited from it, is it possible that God now wants you to play a role in the next generation? I don't know, but you do, and God does. And someone we dismiss today, our family ministries teams are going to be right out in the lobby, and they're going to be waiting to have conversations with you. You're not signing your life away. It's a conversation. Say, hey, you know what? I really benefited from that in my life. It really changed my life. And I don't know what I have to offer, but I'd like to have a conversation. I'd like to do for them what I'm happy someone did for me. I don't know, some of you are thinking, man, I don't even like kids. Well, then stay away. I'm just kidding. No. Our environments are personality driven, and we want to be able to reach every child. We have some kids that don't like kids. We definitely have some students that don't like students. And again, everybody in this room isn't going to become a middle school or high school volunteer. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we all have a role to play in it. We all have a role to play in preparing and setting up the next generation for success. It might be prayer. It might be through giving. It might be through inviting. But I think for some of us today, I really do, we benefited from this. We experienced this. We were on the other side of this. So what would happen if you decided to do for others what you're happy they did for you? There is no telling what God might be planning to do through you. About 6 months ago, one of the people I talked about, Linda Sperling, came to Wellspring. And I knew she was coming, and she sat right there. And she just smiled and cried the whole time. And then after the service was over, she came to the blue room, because that's what you're supposed to do. And she came to the blue room, and we hugged, and we celebrated. And I stopped the entire blue room, all the volunteers. I said, hey, guys, look. And I said, this is Linda Sperling. She went to First Baptist with me. She was one of my leaders when I was in students. And I put my arm around her. And I said, guys, I need you to know, without this lady, I'm not sure Wellspring exists. And she cried, and I cried. But it was true. Because the faith I saw her live when we were in high school, as she went through just some of the toughest things I'd ever seen anybody go through. And the fact that she went through it with joy, and the fact that she went through it and still led us and still worked with us and still pointed to us about how good Jesus was and how great he was. Guys, it built muscles in me I didn't know I had and I didn't know I needed till I needed them. And I'm not saying that lightly. I'm not sure Wellspring exists without that lady and the role she played in my life. I tell you that because at no point during my high school years did she see this happening. She didn't know what she was investing in. You know what she was doing? She was playing her role. She was doing for others what she was happy someone had done for her. And so I don't know what your role is. I know there are things in life you're happy people did for you. And I know that God might be preparing you right now to take a step so that 30 years from now, someone else somewhere else might be telling a story. And the name they might use is yours. And no one in the room is going to know your name, but they will. They will. They'll know what you gave. They'll know what you did. And they'll be glad you did. And the hope is then that they do for others what they're happy someone did for them. And we keep going and going until Jesus comes back. So we're going to sing a song. And then I'm going to come back out and I'm going to dismiss you. But as we sing this song, it's very simple. I just want you to sing the song and I want you to ask God, okay, God, what am I happy someone did for me? And what should I do with what they did? Should it stop with me? Or should I follow your golden rule? Should I play my role in your story? And should I give back? Should I help grow someone else? Should I help make someone else's life better? Because that's what you did for me. So as we sing, ask God what step you should take. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your son. We thank you for this moment to celebrate you. We thank you that you choose to use us to change the world. God, I pray for every person in this room who has benefited from others, who have benefited from these gifts that you've given the church, who's benefited as we've grown. May the benefit, may the blessing not stop with us. May we be compelled today to take a step towards you, a step towards your plan, a step towards doing for others what we're happy they did for us. We love you, Father. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.